right. This is my very first episode. Happy Halloween. I mean, can you imagine a better night for there to be a show like this? But besides on Halloween night, I mean, it's perfect. So, this is the first episode of a podcast that I'm calling Nocturnal Emissions. Do you get it? Is this not good for the radio? I actually am not sure if this is if that's okay for the radio or not, but we're gonna go with it anyway. All right, what's happening out there, Seattle? Is there anything cool and spooky going on out there? Because I feel like I'm missing out on something. I feel like there wasn't a lot of stuff happening this holiday season. And by the holiday season, I don't mean Christmas. I mean Halloween. What's going on out there? Are there any like cool bands playing or cool drag shows? Any blood sacrifices? Any gathering of witches or anything like that? I feel like I have not heard anything, but you know, maybe that's just me. So what I want to do is I'm kind of still figuring out what I'm going to do for this whole hour. I can't believe that I have an hour. Oh man. I mean, thank you guys so much for tuning in. If you're listening in on the radio, or if you are listening in on the podcast, I want to thank you so much for being a part of this as I try to figure out exactly what it is that I am doing. So let me just check, make sure that I've got everything. I'm broadcasting, my levels are clear, my mic is up, the green lights are on. Yes, I'm doing it. I'm doing it, everybody. I'm on the radio. Okay. So here's another thing. I want to ask if you've got any sort of community events, if you've got anything going on that you want me to promote, I will do it for you. I will promote anything, okay? Well, not anything, okay? I have standards. I'm a lady with class and I have standards, okay? So I won't promote just anything, okay? I'm not promoting like your son or your daughter's like school play, unless it's like a school play where they're like reenacting like the Salem witch trials or something like that. That I would totally promote. Like if I could see a bunch of like first graders reenacting the Salem witch trials, sign me up. Reserve me a seat in the front row. I will be there. Yes. But what I really want are like things that are happening in the community that deal with spooky things. So this whole podcast is about spooky things. This whole podcast, Nocturnal Emissions, if you can't tell from the title, I'm sure that you came thinking that this was going to be some sort of something else. I thought you saw the title and you thought, oh, Nocturnal Emissions. Ooh, this is going to happen late at night. I love this beautiful, sensual woman at the radio. I'm sure that you think that this is going to be something else, but it's not, okay? This podcast is all about the paranormal. It's all about things that go bump in the night, things that are terrifying. I want true stories. I want to have a whole year of things that will thrill you, things that will chill you, things that will make the goose pimples all along your arms and legs pop up, okay? So that's what this podcast is all about. So for the community calendar, what I really want is I want events that kind of follow along with my brand, okay? I'm trying to get famous as soon as possible and I need things to follow along with my brand, okay? So I need things like if you've got like a death metal band, you know, you've got a death metal band and your band's name is like, I don't know, it's like Corpse Puppies, you know, or like, I don't know, like Undead Vice Principals or something like that. I don't know. I'm not good at coming up with names. Okay. I named this podcast Nocturnal Emissions. Work with me. If you've got your death metal band or a spooky burlesque show, or you've got some sort of like, haunted, immersive theater show, or I don't know, if you got something going on like that, I really want to hear about it. Please submit to my community calendar. I want to promote your horror movie. I want to promote your film festival, your horror convention, your workshop, your seminar. Are you doing something at Crypticon? I want to promote you. I want to connect the community together. I want this to kind of be like one of those boards when you go to the bagel shop and you're like waiting for your bagel and it's taking forever and you're like, I don't really understand why this is taking so long. Like, put it in a toaster, take it out of the toaster, put some butter on it, put a schmear on it, give it to me. I don't understand why it takes so long. So you look around and there's like a big cork board and it has all this stuff in it. That's what I want. I want this to be that, okay? I want this to be something where if you want to find out what's happening, especially in the Pacific Northwest, because God knows this place can be real sleepy, all right? Now, Seattle, I love you, all right? I love you, okay? But y'all can be real sleepy. You can sleep on me. Where it just feels like nothing is happening. But I know things are happening, and I want people to be able to find it, and I want to be your vessel. Make me your vessel. Put things in me. Fill me. I want to be filled with your things. Oh, yes. All right. So the next thing that I've got going on is a segment that I am... The working title is Sick Sad World, okay? And for all of you 90s babies, I know that you're out there. I know you know exactly what I'm referencing for this, okay? But I don't want to say what I'm referencing for this because Mama doesn't have that kind of money, okay? If I get sued for copyright infringement, I just want you to know that, like, Mama doesn't have that kind of money. So you're going to sue me and you better wait in line because I owe a lot of money to a lot of people. So just going on that. So... Starting off with the most gruesome story. This actually just happened today. I cannot believe this. I was going to work late as usual, and I saw on Twitter this story that was happening outside of Tokyo. So today, I think this just happened today, police have arrested a 27-year-old man whose apartment, get this, guys, was found nine dead bodies were found in this guy's apartment, okay? The suspect, the 27-year-old man, was caught on camera with a woman who disappeared. I think she disappeared a couple of weeks ago. Her body is thought to be one of the nine dead bodies in his apartment. She was reportedly looking on the internet for somebody to commit suicide with, okay? She went missing. Her brother put out this big call for her, and they found her on CCTV with this mystery man, okay? There were a total of 8 women and 1 man found in the house, and 2 of the heads were reportedly found in a cooler. The suspect tried to cover up the smell of the bodies with cat litter, which is crazy. Okay, it's unsure at the moment if the killer found his victims in the same way that he found the woman, which is online. People are suspecting that maybe what had happened was that he was trying to kind of recruit people through the internet, that he was looking for people who wanted to commit suicide. He was luring them to his house, and then he was killing them. So it was this really tragic sort of a case of trying to lure people who are at their most emotionally vulnerable. Now, if you know anything about Japan, Japan has a fairly high suicide rate. Out of most of the developed countries, I think the only one that tops Japan's suicide rate, I think, is Finland, or maybe the US. I think they're the top three. I think it's Japan, maybe South Korea, Finland, and the US, top 4. Their mental health services are reportedly not the best, but they are a relatively crime-free country. Like, Japan doesn't really have a lot of crime in it. There aren't a lot of murders, there aren't a lot of robberies, there aren't a lot of anything going on. They don't allow drugs in the country, God bless. And there's not a lot of violent crime that goes on in Japan. Also, their gun laws are I'm not going to say insane. They're not insane. They're humane. They're humane gun laws. Sorry for getting really political at 13 minutes into this podcast, but they're humane. Like, they have a, their gun laws, nobody can get a gun in Japan, right? Which is why so many of these violent altercations involve knives in Japan, actually. And just this year alone, in 2017, there have been two high-profile violent murders, stabbings. There was one a couple of months ago, and it involved a, I believe it was a young man, who stabbed a bunch of people who were infirm at a nursing home and murdered. I think it was one of, if not the largest mass murder killing spree in Japan's history, which is insane that that happened so recently. There was one in 2015, and there was two in 2017, and it's really insane because it's just like, what's going on in Japan? Like, what is spurring these people to kill? It doesn't really make a lot of sense. I mean, killing at all doesn't really make a lot of sense. But this just happened today. They just arrested him. They just are trying to identify the bodies. So I will keep you posted on this one. Serial killer in Japan. Crazy. How did nine people go missing? Okay. On to some lighter news. Now, you know that I love Republicans. I love them. They're great. being completely facetious. But this is incredible. Like, I would vote for this. The first Republican I would ever vote for, I would vote for this woman. Have you heard about this woman named Bettina Rodriguez Aguilera? She's a Republican running for Congress in Florida. I believe it's like the Miami area. Okay. So this is normal. She's a normal Republican, right? Super conservative. Wants everybody to have all the guns. Wants to take away all the taxation, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Until you find out that Aguilera wants us to know that she has been in psychic communication off and on with aliens since the age of 7. At the age of 7, she had her first alien abduction. And she says that they've been abducting her off and on since she was 7 years old, which is, first of all, very rude. She doesn't really say exactly why they're abducting her. That's something that I've always wondered about alien abductions, which is like, why you? I mean, it's not that I'm jealous, okay? I mean, you know, I mean, if you're going to think about who should be abducted, I mean, you know, I don't really have that much going on. And, you know, I feel like I have a pretty good body to experiment on and, you know, pretty good mind and stuff like that. I mean, like, why are these other people getting abducted? That, and why do you never hear about black people being abducted? That to me is highly suspect, but Aguilera says that she's been abducted several times since the age of 7. She's apparently got some arcane knowledge that the aliens have dropped inside of her mind, which is also like, all right, Aguilera, like, why are they telling you about this? Okay, so reportedly, the aliens have told her that there are 30,000 skulls, quote, different from humans, in a cave in the Mediterranean island of Malta. Somewhere in Malta, off the Mediterranean, there are 30,000 inhuman skulls. Why? What are they doing there? I don't know. Okay. Another thing. The world's energy center, quote unquote, is in Africa. Also, I don't know what that means. I'm sorry, you guys. I should have done more research on these things because I'm not really 100% sure what these things mean when she says the world's energy center. Okay, what is that? Like, is it like ley lines? Is it like, what is like powering, Okay, because one of the theories with aliens, right, is that they are not traveling here through, like, fuel, right? They're not using, like, fossil fuels or anything like that to travel here because it would take an incredible amount of fossil fuels. What it is that they're traveling through, like, wormholes. They're like, tapping into the invisible energy ley lines of the earth and following those energy lines, and that's how they're getting around. So okay, so the center of it is in Africa. Of course, Africa is the center of everything. Africa is the center of life. Africa is the center where humans spring from. Of course, Africa is amazing. The pyramids are in Africa. Like, if you don't know, now you know. All right. So the Coral Castle, one of my favorite unsolved places, a limestone tourist attraction in the South Miami area, is actually an ancient Egyptian pyramid. Okay, yeah. I believe that one. I mean, I feel like that one is easy to check, though, you know? Like, I feel like all you would have to do is just go to the Coral Castle, do some carbon dating on it and figure that one out. But I don't know. She's saying it like it's news. So I'm going to take it like it's real news. And the last quote that I have from her is, quote unquote, God is a universal energy. Now that I can get on board with. I mean, I can get on board with this whole thing, actually, which is why if I were a resident of Miami, she would have my vote. When asked about her beliefs in extraterrestrials, she said, quote, for years, people, including presidents like Ronald Reagan and Jimmy Carter, and astronauts have publicly claimed to have seen unidentified flying objects, and scientists like Stephen Hawking and institutions like the Vatican have stated that there are billions of galaxies in the universe, and we are probably not alone. I personally am a Christian and have a strong belief in God. I join the majority of Americans who believe that there must be intelligent life in the billions of planets and galaxies in the universe, unquote. Now that's true, right? Because Ronald Reagan and Jimmy Carter and a couple of astronauts have reportedly said that they have seen aliens firsthand. That's true. That's a fair statement. I don't know what her being a Christian has to do with this. But, you know, I'm just going to leave that one alone. Aguilera's daughter, here's what's really interesting, actually, about this whole story. Aguilera's daughter is a former Republican National Committee Hispanic Outreach Director. And her son-in-law, get this, I think his name is Jared again, as the gringos would say, Jared again. Agan is Vice President Mike Pence's Deputy Chief of Staff. Wow. And they say crazy doesn't run in the family. Well, that's all that I've got for Six Sad World today. And I'm going to take a little bit of a break and get you all ready for some spoopy noodles, aka creepy pastas, for you. Just in a second. Hold on, darlings. I'll be right back. All right. And we're back. So, just for you guys, I've got a spooky story. I feel like I should have some, like, I want some effect in the background. Like, I feel like I should have something that is like, I don't know, like crackling fire, maybe something, something with some sort of visual effect. I feel like I should have something in the background. Actually, maybe I'll just keep this like spooky music going in the background for ambiance. A little bit of ambiance. All right. That's French. It means ambience. Yes. So I've got a story called I Can See People's Auras. I'm calling this segment Spoopy Noodles, also for copyright purposes, I guess, because, I mean, who owns creepypasta? Can anybody tell me exactly who owns the copyright for creepypasta? I would love to know that. Also, by the way, you can catch me on Twitter at NOCEMISS, Apparently, I couldn't make a Twitter handle that said Nocturnal Emissions. That was too long. So I shortened it to Nocemiss at NOCEMISS. Please send me your spoopy noodles. Please send me anything that you've got, also for the community calendar and also for any sort of news, weird news. Send it my way. Please follow me on Twitter so that you guys can keep up with what I'm doing. My name is Isabella L. Price. I don't know. Did I say that at the top of the year? I didn't even introduce myself. I'm so rude. So I've got a spoopy story for you. Yes, I can see people's auras. And I hate saying it so bluntly. It makes me sound like some hack psychic who fakes the ability as a means of exploitation and a paycheck. I've never made money from my ability. I've never taken advantage of it, and until now, I've never spoken of it to anybody. But I really do see them. And I'm starting to view it as more of a curse. I have a reason for typing this out, and I assure you, there isn't a happy ending. For me, it's quite simple. I see a faint light surrounding people, everyone. And in that light, I can see their morality. The brighter and more translucent the light is, the better the person. The darker and opaquer, the worse. Dim and partly translucent are morally ambiguous. To simplify things, those are three ways that I describe them. Dark equals evil, bright equals good, dim equals somewhere in between. It's strange. I've always viewed the people with gray, dim auras as arbiters, mediators. The people in between who aren't one or the other and will always have difficult decisions to make. I was a child when I first became aware of my gift. It didn't take long to figure out that the brighter auras were kinder to me and selfless. While both of my parents are good people, my father's aura was quite a bit brighter than my mother's. As a result, he was always far more patient and understanding with me. It was clear to see that my teachers and fellow students with brighter auras were usually friendlier and more compassionate. The dark auras were the stereotypical fighters, lunch money stealers, and bullies. I would say I was around 8 years old when I fully figured out that I have a gift that most people don't have, that possibly nobody else has. I've read some of the, quote, New Age websites and alternative medicine articles that give their take on aura reading. While I believe that the vast majority of it is BS, I expect there must be at least some other people out there with my ability. So I don't want to completely diminish those people as an outright hoax. It's just that, for me, it doesn't work anything like the way those websites describe. I've visited numerous aura readers and psychics. Most of them have dim or dark auras themselves, and I'm certain they don't really hold this power. I'm not saying all psychics are terrible people. I visited a few who had very bright auras. They were unable to convince me that they really have psychic powers, but they, at the very least, use their deception to try and help people. You need to understand. I'm going to end this entry by sharing a terrifying event that is happening to me. But before I get to that, I think there are a few more things I need to explain. I imagine many of you are curious as to what type of aura is the most common. I'm happy to tell you that the majority of people are somewhere between bright and dim. I see very few dark auras. This isn't scientific, and I hadn't traveled the world plotting out charts and graphs, but I'd estimate around 60% of people are brightish, around 25% dimish, leaving just around 15% darkish. Again, these are just estimates. What's the precise difference between, say, bright and dim? I have no idea. But rest assured, there is far more bright in the world than there is dark. The next thing I'd like to discuss is children. I can see a person's aura right from birth, and I've never encountered an aura changing as someone ages. I'm not sure what this means for the whole nature versus nurture debate. And I'm not saying that everyone with a dark aura always behaves terribly or vice versa. A person with a bright aura might be born in horrible conditions, acquire a drug problem, and then resort to thievery to feed their addiction. I think the difference is this. A bright aura thief with a horrible upbringing may rob someone, but they would never intentionally hurt someone in the process. A dark aura thief would kill someone if they could get away with it without even a second thought. Another interesting note. I find the ratio between bright, dim, dark to be similar pretty much across all human interactions. Whether I'm at a church or a death metal concert, it always seems to be around the same, 60, 25, 15. I once visited a federal prison and was shocked to see that at least half of the prisoners had bright auras. I had to be at that prison in person to see this because I can't see auras on photographs, television shows, movies, or even in mirrors. I can only see auras in the real world. Another strange thing. I can't see my own aura. I assume and hope it would be on the brighter spectrum, but I can't see it. The brightest person I ever saw worked as a social worker. She shone so bright that it was difficult for me to even look at her. Based on the way people acted in her presence, I think that almost everyone around her could sense her brightness in a subconscious way. Everyone loved her. She had donated a kidney to someone she barely even knew. She had a special needs adopted child. Most of the money she earned was donated to various charities, and that's only the little I knew of her. This woman shined so brightly that she scared me. It was scary that someone could be so good. But it wasn't nearly as scary as the darkest person I ever saw. I was 20 years old at the time, leaving a club downtown at 2 a.m. A man quietly walked down the street. I didn't see him at first, but I noticed the light dimming around me. The man was so dark that he partly absorbed the light around him. I looked at him long and hard. He looked desperate, cruel, and callous. When he looked up and locked eyes with me, it made me fall back. He smirked, as though he knew what I could see. I saw his face up close. I would never forget it. And I recognized it when I saw his mugshot a few weeks later in the newspaper. He had murdered his ex-wife and two children in cold blood. I think I need to get to it now, the reason why I'm writing this all out. I fell in love a year ago. She didn't shine anywhere near as bright as what I've seen before, but most assuredly wasn't dark or even dim. She was beautiful. Her sense of humor, her wit, her everything. She was my dream woman. And I've never told her about anything at all about the auras I see. I could go into far more about her, but this isn't a love story. What's important is this. We fell in love. She got pregnant. We got married. We were happy. We were so happy. I remember hearing the buzz of my phone two mornings ago. I remember my excitement when I saw, "It's happening. Come to the hospital." I remember my frustration when I got stuck in traffic. I remember how long it took to find a parking spot. I remember shouting at a nurse, "What room is my wife in?" I remember bursting through a door and seeing the smile on my wife's face. I remember seeing the doctor, his light shining so bright as he told me, "Congratulations, it's a boy." The doctor held him up to me, and all the light in the room dissipated. No, this can't be, I remember saying. The doctor put him in my arms. The darkness around my son was so absolute that I could barely even see him. He was a void. He was so dark that the world barely even existed around him. It was like nothing I'd ever experienced. I started weeping. I think my wife and the doctor thought that they were tears of joy, but they weren't. Lord knows they weren't. I think back to the dark outline around that man that murdered his family. It was up to that point the darkest I'd ever seen. But the darkness around my son was 100 times worse. 1,000 times worse. And what could possibly be 1,000 times worse than murdering your entire family? It's been 2 days now. We're home now. My son's darkness is so extreme that it dims the hallway leading to his room. My wife knows something is wrong. I think she suspects I'm having regrets about having children at all. If only she knew. What do? He's my son. Just 20 minutes ago, I stood above him, holding a pillow over his face, but I couldn't do it. Not yet, anyway. A man who could murder his 2-day-old baby boy? What color would his aura be? And here's the thought that keeps going through my mind as I sit here alone. The fathers of our worst, the Adolf Hitlers, the Joseph Stalins, the Timothy McVeighs. If their parents knew what they would become, would they murder them in their cradle? If they have the strength to hold down the pillow as long as it takes? I can see the door of my son's room from my office. The hallway seems to be growing darker. I look down at my hands as I type this. Maybe I'm going crazy. But there seems to be an aura around my hands and arms now. It's gray. It's dim. Maybe it's always been dim. I'm looking down at the pillow beside me. The grayish, dim outline around my hands, more apparent than ever. Maybe it's time. Maybe this is why I have this gift. It all comes down to right now. Maybe it's time. I think it's time. All right. Did you like that? I mean, that was pretty good, right? Come on. That was pretty good, right? Yeah. That was pretty spoopy. You know, when I was looking up creepypastas, or as I'm calling them, spoopy noodles, there's like so many good ones out there. The problem with them is that most of the time they're from a decidedly male kind of voice. I don't really know what that's about, but, you know, for whatever reason, it just seems like a lot more dudes are writing these than anybody else. So I have to constantly remind myself to put it into like a female voice. I guess I really don't have to. I don't have to change the gender. Like, you guys understand that if I say that in the story that I'm a father, that it's not a real story. So, you know, you guys understand. But I thought that was a pretty good one. I mean, okay, sure, my first episode I started with infanticide, so, okay, I'm coming from a, you know, kind of a weird place, but bear with me, because I thought it was a good story. So that is the spoopy noodles segment of the show. I think we're making great time. I don't know how the rest of you guys feel out there. If you guys are inside, it's a Tuesday night. If you guys are inside of your homes, if you're dressed up, if you're handing out candy, if you're listening to spooky things, if you're watching some horror movies. I think after I go home, I'm going to watch a few horror movies. I think watching a few horror movies, maybe put on a face mask, maybe just chill out for a while is kind of how I'm going to end this Halloween night. But thank you so much for spending this night with me. I really appreciate it. This is the first official episode of Nocturnal Emissions on Hollow Earth Radio, and I could not be more happy about it. And if you're listening on Wednesday, have a happy All Saints Day, and remember to celebrate your loved ones, those that are here and those that are on the other side. So I've got one more segment before we part ways. This segment, I'm really uncreative for this segment. For right now, I'm just calling it Listener Stories. This is probably my favorite part of the night, which is when I get true horror stories, true stories. I want Now, anybody can submit for this, okay? So if you've got a true story of anything paranormal happening to you, please send it to me, okay? Send it to me via Twitter. That is at NOCEMISS. Why is that so hard for me to say? I don't know why it's so hard for me to say. NOCEMISS at Twitter, okay? But then if you want to send me an email, you can send that to nocturnalemissionsshow@gmail.com. That's NOCTURNALEMISSIONSSHOW. Wow, I did not do myself any favors with that one. nocturnalemissionsshow@gmail.com. And what you can do is that you can send me an email. You can write up a story, but you can also send me like a voice message. If you want to record something using the microphone on your phone and then you want to send that to me via email, then I can also play that as well, which would be so delicious, okay? But don't do like a 30-minute yarn about your encounter with Bigfoot, okay? Because like mama needs her airtime, okay? This is my time to shine. You get your own radio show and you can talk about your own encounters, all right? Keep it nice and neat and sweet and short, okay? Thank you. So we've got the first one. And he said that I can use his name, but I don't know. I feel weird about using his name. This is a person actually that I know, so this is really cool. All right. So the story goes. So my mom had me relatively young, and she would drop me off at my great-grandmother's while she attended classes at a community college. I used to go down to her basement to play with my imaginary friend Luigi quite a lot. I was about 4 or 5, and one day my great-grandmother came down. She was doing laundry, and I had a basket of clothes in her arms. She asked me what I was doing in the basement again, and I said, playing with Luigi. She says, what? And I pointed to a small room in the back of the basement and said, Luigi, he's my friend. I'm watching him make wine. My grandmother drops the basket, clothes go all over the floor, and she looks at me with pure shock. I didn't understand why at the time, but a few years later, my mom told me that my grandmother's father was named Luigi, and he used to make his own wine during Prohibition in a small room in the back of the basement. Right. Thank you so much for that amazing story. That was a good one. Man, I mean, I'm so impressed to find out how many people have ghost stories, like how many people in their lives have had encounters with the paranormal. Now, I'm a huge believer in the paranormal. I love the paranormal, but I'm also just kind of a collector of stories. Like, I just love to hear the stories. I love to hear what people have experienced before. Okay, here, how about this? How about I share with you one of my own paranormal stories? Since I only got one submission for this week, hopefully I'll be able to drum up more submissions. How about I share with you one of mine? So, I was going to school for, it was like 2 semesters in Savannah, Georgia. I was going and doing this film program. And one of the requirements for the film program that I was in, we had to do a lighting exercise. Now, this wasn't that long ago, but this program had started us on these Brownie cameras. Now, if you don't know, a Brownie camera is, it's an old-timey wind-up camera. It uses actual film. It's not digital. It uses actual film that you put into the canister and, you know, you thread it through the camera and you crank it up and then it shoots for a while and it goes like that. And then it clicks and then you wind it up again. My favorite camera. I love film. Okay. And one of the places that I really wanted to do this lighting exercise, because these cameras need a lot of exposure. That's the thing with these cameras. They're really sensitive to light, and you need to blow out the scene with a lot of light exposure. So everybody else in my class was much smarter than me, and they all decided that they were going to go and film outside, and they were going to go to the park. Me, being the genius that I am, I decided that I wanted to go and I wanted to film in this haunted house. Now, there's a very famous haunted house in Savannah, Georgia, and it's this house where this horrible tragedy happened. There was a family, a daughter died of yellow fever, a woman committed suicide, a slave woman was held as essentially a sex slave. In this house, it's a house of horrors, essentially, super haunted, right? Went there, was scoping out, there was a guy who was like a tour guide in the house, and I went there and I asked him, you know, I'm a film student and I would really like to film a project here in the house, would you be open to that? And he was so on game. He was like, yeah, like, I love movies, I love film, let's do it. And we have this great conversation about horror movies and we're chatting it up, and he's giving me a tour of the house. Now, this is in the middle of the day, right? It's probably like a Monday or a Wednesday afternoon. There's nobody in the house. There's no tour guides or anything like that. We're walking through the house and it's completely abandoned. The upstairs is doing renovations. There are rooms that were kind of like closed off, you know, that I couldn't go into. And we're walking through and there is, oh my goodness, I thought I heard something in the studio, but it's the feedback from my headphones. Ah! I can't believe I psyched myself out. So here, let me close the door real quick. All right, so we're walking through, and we are going through, and he's leading me through the dining room, and suddenly out of the corner of my eye, I see really quickly a woman walk through. She's walking through one of the hallways, and I didn't think anything of it because I thought, oh, well, that must be somebody else that works here. You know, they probably have keys, whatever. And he's talking to me about going down into the basement. He's like, would you like to go down into the slave quarters? And I was like, oh, man, okay, sure. Yeah, let's do this. And I see the woman again. This time she's on the other side of me. She's on my left-hand side. She kind of goes around the corner through the kitchen around to where the parlor room is. And it's only here that I notice that she is wearing like this huge dress. And I'm just like, oh, is she like a reenactor? What's happening? And I just catch like very slight movement of this dress. And I believe it's like magenta or purple or something like that. Really quickly, I can't get a full, it just happens so fast because I'm talking to this guy in front of me and I see this woman beside me really quickly walk through the house. We're at the top of the stairs and suddenly this rush of vertigo comes over me, right? I get really nauseous and the stairs are like a straight drop down into the basement, right? These very narrow wooden stairs that are going down into the basement, and I can't even take the first step. I'm so scared. I get vertigo really easily. I can't even make the first step. And behind me, I hear a voice that says, what's the matter with you? Go. And a hand, a right hand, presses into the small of my back and pushes me to the first step. I kid you not. I kid you not. I had to hurry up and put both of my hands up on the other side of the wall in order to brace myself. And I can remember all five. I know it was a right hand because I remember I knew I could feel where her thumb was. I could feel where her fingers were. I could feel, and I placed my hand over where her hand was. It sounded like a teenage girl. And she pushed me. And I whipped around, and there was nobody there. So that should have been my first clue, right? So we go downstairs into the slave quarters. The slave quarters is this horrifying basement area where there are literally chains embedded into the cement. But the horrifying thing about the chains was the fact that there were adult-sized chains, and then there were also small chains. There were small, like, iron manacle, like, iron chains that, like, a child could fit into. Like, horrifying, right? That's the scariest part of this whole entire trip for me, because that image is burned into my memory of seeing these child-size chains embedded into the floor. I film my project. I have, like, this small crew of people that are my partners in class. We film the project. I get the film back from I used to send it off to, like, this film processing plant that's in Boston. They send me back the processed film. I go into this room called the splice room, which is, like, terrifying in and of itself, where you can put the film up on this thing called a splicer, where you can cut the film and edit it together and put it up on this projector so you can see what you're editing as you're doing it, right? It's this dark room. It's really musty. It smells like alcohol. It's a terrifying place, right? I put the film up on the projector so that I can see what I've developed. And it's normal. It's light, right? We put in so many lights in this house. The house was a million degrees by the time that we were done with it. It was so hot. I was terrified that we were going to, like, start a fire. That's how hot it was in this old antebellum house. And I get the film footage back, and there's a scene that I shot from the top of the stairs where I was standing into the basement. And there in the basement is the shadow. And the shadow, shaped like a human being, I kid you not, and it sort of just, like, grows. It grows up from one corner of the frame. It stands up tall. Shrinks back down again. Then the camera cuts. It moves over. I took it to another room in the house. There's a shadow. It's along the edges. It's black. And it's amorphous. It's like a blob. And it takes over the one side. Then it moves from one area to the other, and until it takes over the entire frame, and the whole frame is just black. So, long story short, I send it back to Boston. I say, the frame, the footage is damaged. What can you do about that? They send it back to me and they say, whatever was captured inside, whatever this, like, anomaly is, it was captured while you guys were filming. It's not a problem with the film footage at all. I kid you not. Spookiest thing. I don't have the footage. I sent it back to Boston. And yeah, that's a spooky, strange thing that happened to me. I want to thank you guys so much for tuning in. It's Halloween night, so don't overdose it on the candy. You know you're going to regret it tomorrow morning. My name is Isabella L. Price, and this has been Nocturnal Emissions. All right, good night, sleep tight, and don't let the bed bugs bite.